Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. 24's podcast, as stuff is already falling off of my desk this late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning. I am your host, 24. This is my podcast, 24's podcast. We're already with a late podcast. God damn it! Shit! Oh, gosh. It's just been one of those days. You know, about a month and a half ago, it's like 1 o'clock right now, 1:30 in the morning. About a month and a half ago, I looked at my schedule collegiately. We're in March. Next week, I have off. Today, because it's Thursday, is my final day of college before I go on spring break. And, you know, about a month and a half ago, really almost 2 months ago, actually 2 months ago to the day, it was January 8th. I'm saying to myself, do I really want to drag myself out of bed and go to school? I don't feel right mentally. I don't feel right physically. I still don't feel right both ways. But I'm like, let me just go. I feel like I got a little bit of fight in me. Let me go ahead and try. And I tried and I tried and I tried. And it's like 2 months later, for the first time in my entire life, I am on pace to do something that I've never done in my entire life. At the highest level of education, college. Yes, even though it's community college. It's still college. It has college in the name. I am on pace, first time ever, to make straight A's. Make straight A's. And ladies and gentlemen, that is a sacrifice that you gotta pay to get straight A's. Sacrifice being that you got to do all of the work and you got to be studious. Like I did, you know what I did these last 2 weeks? Last 2 weeks, I wrote 12 pages, 12 fucking pages of just work, right? Last week, I wrote 8 because my group, I was in a group fucking project and my fucking idiotic group did zero work. They did nothing. Zero work. Nada. Zero. Zero. I don't know how many more times I gotta say zero. I didn't do shit. And so I had to literally do everything in the fucking group, carry the fucking group, do all the fucking work, pretty much type up 8 pages of work by myself. And then this week, I just got off like 30, 40 minutes ago, an hour ago maybe, of typing up an additional 4 pages. That is due today. And you want to know what? You want to know what? To top it all off, I got to present a presentation on the 4 pages today in World Civilizations class. And then wait, there's more after that class right before spring break. I got a test to take. That's right. That's right. So I spent like 6 hours writing the paper and studying for the test. 6 hours. To say I am exhausted, to say I'm tired would be an understatement. But I'm here. I'm back. I'm ready to go. Oh, God. I don't even have the energy to play my intro music. Look, we're supposed to talk about the draft tonight. We'll talk draft strategy. Jesus Christ, I can't talk today. We'll talk draft strategy today. And we'll kind of get started with that here. We'll go on Draft Network or Pro Football Network. Finished getting all those ROMs on my computer. Or technically, I finished getting all the ROMs I wanted. It was like 100 gigs of just games. And it's like, I'm looking at the games. I've never downloaded like a PlayStation 2 and a GameCube ROM, so I don't really know how those work. And I unzipped it because it came in a zipped file. And I was like, what the fuck is this? What is this? I was like, I'm unzipping them on a Mac. So I'm like, is this, am I using the right stuff? Did I get ganked? Did I just download 100 gigabytes worth of shite on my computer? No, I don't think so. It's looking that way right now. But yeah, super excited about the Odin 2 that I'm going to get real soon. Oh, gosh.
Where is it? No, fuck. I pressed on combine. Sorry. I'm tired. I'm lagging today. Where is it? Here, it's in tools. I'm on Pro Football Network, and their website has kind of changed a little bit, so I have to, like, acclimate myself with the website again. Okay. Let's talk draft here. Let's get into it. So, God damn it. Really, Pro Football Network? You're going to have ads in the mock draft simulator? Going to have ads in the simulation? Simulation ads? Really? Come on. So, I'm not really going to do a whole mock draft. I'm just going to run situations with you. We're just going to do situations. And you'll kind of hear me talk about top 10 quarterback, wide receiver, tackle. And a lot of people are probably going to same thing. Top 10, quarterback, wide receiver, tackle. In probably that order. This year's draft is really interesting. Not a great or really even good running back draft class. Top end, there's practically no talent. I don't even think people have a first round grade on a running back in this draft. Juxtaposed to, we got a top five guy in Marvin Harrison Jr. at wideout. And so a lot of teams are going to be interested in Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs. At least I think they are. Tony Pollard. They're all going to be interested in them. But top five, there's going to be so much interesting movement, right? Top five of the draft. The Chicago Bears at 1, Washington Commanders 2, New England Patriots 3, Arizona Cardinals 4, Los Angeles Chargers 5. Interesting top five. Two of those teams don't need a quarterback. Cardinals, they're already rolling with Kyler. Chargers are rolling with Justin Herbert. That leaves the Bears at 1, Washington at 2, Patriots at 3. I think all three of those teams take a quarterback. I think the Chargers and the Cardinals probably take a wide receiver or a tackle. That's how that works. See how I said that? Three guys. Quarterback, wide receiver, tackle. In that order. In that order. What's going to be interesting are the teams that say to themselves, you know, obviously, we're outside of the top five. We kind of want to get back in there. But kind of like, how motivated are they going to be to get up into the top five to potentially get whoever they want to get? Quarterback, wide receiver, again, tackle. I don't know. Bears, though, are an interesting team. They lack a quarterback because Justin Fields is not very good. And a lot of people are kind of lying to themselves and saying, oh, no, he's good. He's good. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. He's ready to go. He's a contender. He's a great player, et cetera, et cetera. He's great. He's dominant. 10 games, 10 wins. Five of them last season. He's great. Atlanta wants him. Are you sure Atlanta wants him? Kirk Cousins keeps on talking about moving down to Atlanta. Kirk Cousins, you know, seems to be pretty confident in something that's going on down there in Atlanta. Look, to me, the Bears probably should have moved on from Justin Fields about a week ago to 2 weeks ago while I was on vacay. I don't know why they're continuously waiting. They can't really get anything back for Justin Fields because nobody wants Justin Fields. Nobody is like, man, we want those 10 wins in 3 years, one of the worst quarterbacks on paper, probably one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. There's nothing that you can point me to when it comes to his statistics that showcase him as a great quarterback, but for some weird reason, he has that pedigree already. It's very weird. It's a very weird dichotomy. And so the Bears, once again, have the number one overall pick, not because they are that bad. That's Carolina's pick that they traded for. Remember last year, they traded their first overall pick for Carolina's first round draft pick this year. Carolina was the worst team in football. That's how Chicago has the one seed or the first overall pick and the ninth pick. Money's on Caleb Williams. I think all signs point to the Bears kind of being done and out on Justin and wanting a quarterback, and they'll move on from Justin and they'll get a quarterback. They'll get Caleb Williams. I'd be kind of shocked if they don't. I remember seeing and hearing Dan Orlovsky say some dumbass shit like, if it was me, I would get Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams. I'm like, how? Why? Where? I feel like Jaden Daniels is way too overrated and way too hyped up. I'm kind of shocked. Like, I'm shocked that he's ahead of Michael Penix Jr. I'm shocked. Like, I'm looking at the big board for Pro Football Network. Their big board is essentially their ranking of all the players in the draft. Their big board is that Michael Penix Jr. isn't even a first-round draft pick. He's a second-round draft pick, and he's behind Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, and Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. I think he can be better than all those guys. I'm a bit shocked by that. Kind of the onus will be, well, he had all those great wide receivers down there in Washington, all those great players. I'm like, well, hell, so did Jaden Daniels. Did he or did he not have Malik Nabers? Hello? What are we doing? Did Ohio State this year have Marvin Harrison Jr.? Did they not have him last year? It is a very weird head-scratching conundrum that people want to play this intellectual dishonesty and say that Michael Penix Jr. isn't a top 15 player, I think. 10 player in the draft. I'll go over his tape again. I'll look at it this weekend. I got time. I'm off. Spring break, here I come. I'm 1 foot out the door, 1 foot into a bathing pool. Jesus Christ, I'm tired. Swimming pool. We'll see what happens. But the Bears, really first overall pick, they don't really have an excuse to not go out and get Caleb Williams. One, Washington's probably going to get a quarterback. Two, which one is it? They aren't really articulating at all, but they probably will take a quarterback. Two, same thing goes with Patriots. Three. Now, the Patriots are in an interesting position, because the Patriots have the option to go down and get Russell Wilson. And if they get Russell Wilson at three, Marvin Harrison Jr. is available for you. Not at three, excuse me. If you go out and if you pay Russell Wilson minimum wage, you get Marvin Harrison Jr. at three. But you kind of run the risk of not getting an elite quarterback. But it's like, well, hey, we could have our wide receiver, for the next 10 years. We can move forward that way. Again, they're in a little bit of a pickle here, right? But not so much that they don't have clear-cut ways out. Like, if this was a hand of poker, they have a lot of outs here. Patriots, you can draft Russell Wilson. You cannot draft Russell Wilson. Damn it, not draft him. I'm tired again. You can take Russell Wilson, minimum wage, and then you can draft a wide receiver. You can draft a quarterback for all that matters. You know, they're in a really good spot when it comes to a rebuild. New head coach, new GM, same old owner, great owner, and obviously Robert Kraft, but some stuff they got to figure out. And one of those things that they have to figure out is, what are they going to do with their third overall pick? Are they going to spend it on a wide receiver or on a quarterback? We'll see what happens. Fourth overall pick, Arizona. Arizona. Tackle, wide receiver. It's weird how Arizona 2 years ago had a great one in DeAndre Hopkins, and then they were like, let's trade him, and then they haven't replaced DeAndre Hopkins with a suitable wide receiver. They've replaced him with a guy by the name of Hollywood Brown, who isn't very good. It's a bit ridiculous. Just like, huh, that kind of sucks for Arizona. They really swung and missed on that one. Arizona's kind of up a creek without a paddle. What the Patriots do kind of determines what exactly Arizona can and will do. Again, Arizona, it's like, you can still draft Malik Nabers, or you can go out and get another tackle. We'll see what happens. Chargers are kind of in a weird spot as well, because they just drafted Quentin Johnston last year. Certified bust. Jesus Christ. Right now, we'll kind of see what happens long term. Mike Williams may or may not be cut or traded in the next year to 2 years. And Keenan Allen is still awesome, but he's getting older. So the Chargers are in a weird spot at five, where it's like, you kind of maybe don't need a wide receiver. You probably don't necessarily want to spend your first round draft pick on a wide receiver, but at the exact same time, you kind of maybe need one, because Mike Williams and Quentin Johnston are super unreliable. Here's an interesting proposition. that I don't think a lot of people are discussing with the Chargers. You have your tackles, you have, you know, some pieces on offensive line that you may want to kind of kick the can down the curb with. Zion Johnson, for example. You want to know what's an interesting proposition for the Chargers at five? It's not to go offensive line or wide receiver at all. And so some of you may say, well, 24, what are you suggesting? Are you suggesting they go defense? No, I'm not. I think they should take Brock Bowers at five. I think that's kind of an obvious pickup for them at five if they want to help out Justin Herbert. He kind of has not had that safety net at tight end that he had with Hunter Henry, and it's kind of weird that the Chargers, to me, didn't invest in that position a little bit more. You're at five. You can potentially have your own Travis Kelce. I've loved Brock Bowers coming out of Georgia since he was a freshman, and it's kind of weird. He's on the Mock Draft Network, on Pro Football Network. He's at the right spot. He's at sixth overall. However, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of buzz around him. You know what I mean? Like, last year, I thought Dalton Kincaid was, like, the steal of the draft. I thought he was, like, a top 10 player, and he goes in the 20s, mid-20s. And now it's, like, it's kind of flipped, where it's, like, everybody kind of has the read on Brock Bowers. Everybody's like, Brock Bowers is that guy. We should kind of validate him as that guy. I think the Chargers, a lot of teams lie a lot right now. They lie a lot. It's free agency. It's the draft. They don't want to show their hands. And so I'm very skeptical on a lot of teams making these huge, you know, decisions and things of that nature. I'm more skeptical than anything of any team that's going to make these huge moves and any reporting specifically. And so there really isn't a whole lot of reporting about Brock Bowers. There really isn't a whole lot of reporting with what the Chargers are going to do. It's a very, very interesting situation that they're in, but there's a lot of obvious top-end talent at wideout that they can go out and get, but at the exact same time, it's like Brock Bowers is sitting right there. Sitting right there for you at five. Sixth, you got the Giants. Everybody in the Giants organization is either saying take a quarterback or take a wide receiver. Rich Eisen went on and said something interesting that I think is a little, I think it's shrouded a little bit in misdirection. The thing that I heard that came out of the Giants was that the Giants have buyer's remorse, and this is from Rich Eisen, the Giants have buyer's remorse on Daniel Jones, which I cannot believe that they just realized that. They were like, oh, gee whiz, never beat Dak Prescott, got stomped by the NFC East for the better part of half a decade. Man, we really think he's a top-tier quarterback. It's like the Nick Wright already said this. It's like the Giants did not watch his tape. They were like, gee, or just started to watch his tape this offseason. Like, wow, I can't believe how bad of a quarterback he is. And it's just like, you kind of signed him to an extension last season. Great job, by the way. Great job. Giants at six are in that spot of like, yeah, they need another wide receiver because they have none. But I don't know. I feel like teams like the Giants, Titans, Falcons, 6, 7, 8 are all in those sweepstakes of if there's a quarterback kind of hanging around and Washington or the Patriots are willing to move down, we should move up. I don't know if the Giants will take a quarterback at six. I don't know if they will move up to take a quarterback earlier in the draft. It's so hard to make the read on them as it stands right now. We're only a week out from the combine. It's so hard to read these teams' as decision-making and read through their lies. But to me, if I am being honest, I feel like the Giants probably do have buyer's remorse on Daniel Jones because they expected him to take some type of a leap that he obviously did not take whatsoever. Jesus Christ. And now they're up a creek without a paddle, and they're like, wait, we have the third quarterback in a division that has the worst team besides us drafting number two overall. So we're probably about to have the fourth
quarterback in our division. And it's not even close. Daniel Jones is terrible. Terrible. And with the release of Saquon Barkley this past Monday, or Tuesday, I guess, it's like, the whole purpose of your team when you guys were winning games and going to the playoffs was Saquon Barkley. And now that you don't have Saquon Barkley, it's like, well, wait a second. How exactly do we win football games? I don't know. The reality is that they probably don't win football games without Saquon Barkley. That's kind of the truth of the matter. But yes, Giants at sixth. Really, really just really bad position overall. Titans, Falcons, Bears. Titans, Falcons are in that no man's land where it's like, again, if they can move up, they will move up. We'll see what happens draft night, and we'll kind of see what happens as we get closer and closer to the draft, whether or not some of these teams or some of these teams start to show their hand, I guess. I think a good question to ask is, like, will they show their hands? And it's just like, I think some teams are kind of dumb enough to show their hands, because they always do. It's like, usually in and around the time the draft kind of occurs, it's like, it's maybe not the proper definition is they show their hands. It's more along the lines of, like, I can eliminate some things going on, you know? Like, again, we're about a month and a half out from the draft, and I can probably X out and cross out that the Giants take a quarterback at sixth overall. Probably. But again, I've been wrong before. We'll see what happens. Titans at seven, though. Titans at seven. I mean, Titans, God, man, I don't even know who their head coach is. They're just such a disaster, such a bad organization. It feels like, you know what it feels like with the Titans? They're irrelevant again. Like, they had their shot with Derrick Henry for about 2-3 years. They were, you know, they were on the cusp of really going to the Super Bowl. And now it kind of just seems as if after they've lost Derrick Henry, they've completely lost their identity. They have zero options at quarterback. And now they don't even have a top-tier wide receiver. Excuse me, they do have a top-tier wide receiver. I was about to say they don't. Because Treylon Burks hasn't been anything for them, but now they do because they have DeAndre Hopkins. So it's like, it's kind of, they do have their guy. They do have their guy. But it's like, for how much longer? We'll see. Yeah, Titans, mess. Atlanta, mess. Head coach, I think Raheem Morris came in day one, week one, and was like, I know we got guys. I know we'll be all right because we got guys like Drake London and Bijan Robinson. He didn't mention Kyle Pitts, who I thought was fantastic coming out of college. Had, I think, like a 1,000-yard reception season as a tight end. Did bupkis ever since because, my God, is his coaching staff, or was his coaching staff, horrific. Horrific. But Atlanta, we'll kind of see what happens next. 9-10, Bears and Jets. Bears, again, with the first overall pick, they're probably looking to take a quarterback. 9th overall pick, offensive lineman, wide receiver first, offensive lineman second. Jets at 10, they're still kind of, I mean, like, you can't, like, what do the Jets do? I mean, they probably spin it on some type of a tackle. They'll lie to themselves and tell themselves that Aaron is great and that he's ready to go, and they'll ignore his final year in Green Bay and all that good stuff. They'll ignore it all for the benefit of Aaron for some horrific reason, and they'll just run out of the tunnel with probably a new shiny toy at offensive line for Aaron Rodgers. I was about to say Donald. That's how tired I am. And they'll probably stink up the joint again. We'll see what happens with the Jets. Long-term, of course. We'll see. Kind of like the next 10 picks, and really for the rest of the draft, and I'll end it here. For the rest of the draft, it's a big, I don't really know. And the reason why I don't really know is because there are, for me, a lot of prospects that I don't really know anything about. I know about Joe Alt Jr., but Joe Alt's probably a top 6-7 player. Not 6-7 player, he's probably a top 5 player, but he's going to go in the top 6-7. If I were to put some money on it. But all these other teams, you know what I've seen that's a trend? And I'll kind of see if it's on this website. Yeah. There's a lot of first-round talent at tackle. A lot of first-round talent at tackle. And the way that essentially a lot of evaluators are leaning towards is that this may be, ironically enough, with Caleb Williams and with all of these, like, not just Caleb Williams, excuse me, but with all of these quarterbacks, it'll also be a fantastic wide receiver draft as well as a fantastic quarterback draft. And on top of that, there's some really nice tight ends in that, in this draft. And on top of that, there's also some really, really nice tackles in this draft. It's insane how offensively driven this draft is when it comes to skill position players, pass protection, and also quarterbacks. It's kind of weird. It's like awesome, awesome, awesome. And I'll kind of get started on some of these guys here. Joe Alt Jr., I saw him play at Notre Dame. I'll kind of go back and I'll look at his tape here over the weekend. Kind of for like transparency's sake, I usually will have, how I evaluate players, is I'll watch three games. I'll watch your best game, I'll watch your worst game, and then I'll watch your average game to kind of like know the player. And if I don't know what player I'm getting, who I'm watching, et cetera, by the third game, then I'll watch a fourth game. Usually it takes me like an hour to get through these players. And, excuse me. And, what is it? It takes me like 20 minutes per game to get through. So it's like, it's an hour there. It's an hour between players. But, God, again, so tired. I'm so tired.
Hold on.
Excuse me, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm exhausted. But I'll look at some of the tackles. I'll look at hopefully the majority of the quarterbacks as well. And I'll come back on Wednesday of next week with a better, broader idea of the game. Or not of the game, excuse me, but of the draft. Anyways, I'm peacing out. See you tomorrow for Music Matters 24's podcast.